The Black Pearl Anthology and the Tales of the Worlds That Were proudly presents a duel. Grigorovich took one last drag of the cigarette and dropped it dead where he stood. 5 minutes late. Nothing surprising in that. This is duel, after all, to the death, my friends. And let us face it, such is not the territory for a girl. The minister had been waiting when Grigorovich and his posse arrived. No one questioned how the ministers knew, or where they came from. Some said they were a remnant of the inverted world, back when that had occupied the same plane of existence as the lands of the living. Grigorovich, the tall, well-dressed man in top hat and tails, could have been the inverted king himself. It mattered little. All that mattered was the insolence he had faced and the retribution he would extract. He would find justice, and his pillar would stand above the 7 others. Righteous ego filled his chest where the cheap cigarette smoke once had. He would stand proud this night. He would honor his pillar's founding matriarch. He would stand as the champion of Catherine, the sister of greed. All he need do is dispatch this little cur that had wronged him. But that required that she finally arrive. And so they stood. The men with him cracked wise and drank openly. The words whore and slut passed around with vodka. Jokes of funeral arrangements puffed up Grigorovich as cigarette smoke billowed. They made light of the brutality. They joked at Grigorovich's savagery. He smoked cigarette after cigarette and predicted employing on the girl every form of evil that he could think of. How much gore filled the body of a 5-foot-tall child, he wondered. Tempe finally arrived. It was easy to detect her coming. The sound of a skateboard in the snowfall, chunky headphones with cat ears glowed purple amidst the white plumes that danced in the wind. Beside that, there was little motion, little sound, just the rolling of wheels and the singular, small-framed child that stood on the board. Grigorovich smirked, and he knew he had this.
By the edicts passed down, etched in stone and burning in our blood, I call this duel.
Grigorovich barked into the swirls.
Anatoly Grigorovich of the 7th Pillar has claimed the right of combat, the minister declared from beneath fur and finery.
I would offer reconciliation one more time.
Tempe smacked around sour apple gum.
Lady Svetlana Tempe offers truce.
The minister looked at Grigorovich. Grigorovich spat upon the ground.
The truce is declined.
The minister's brows jumped.
So it is.
Tempe stood with 1 foot rolling the skateboard back and forth.
By the edicts passed down, etched in stone and burning in our blood, I shall meet this duel.
Lady Svetlana Tempe of the First Pillar accepts.
The minister nodded. Grigorovich caught nicotine spit on the back of his tongue and rolled it around. How had this child been born to the First Pillar? She was of nothing. She had not seen a century. Those of her age were useless and powerless. They moved without purpose and strived for nothing. How could he even be related to her? He wondered.
So much for the First Pillar, he smirked. They would do well to pick a far more respectful and frankly respectable champion after First Light.
He rolled his head and shoulders. He breathed in deep, his fists forming and coming to rest near his bulbous abdomen.
This combat, it shall be over before it began.
Wagers are to be made.
The minister held out an obsidian hand. Grigorovich strode forward and placed a black pearl in the palm of the minister and stepped back without looking away from Tempe. Grigorovich's men cheered and slapped his thick leather jacket when he had drawn back to his original spot. Tempe rolled on her skateboard forward, dropped a black pearl in the hand of the minister, and backed up ever so slightly. Tempe whipped out her phone, allowed her fingers to tumble rapidly over the glass front, and didn't bother looking up.
Lose your armaments.
The minister held an arm out to each combatant.
I choose the weapon of my family, the scythe of the wandering tribes.
Grigorovich held out his hand, and the shadows answered, swirling, bulbous, noxious forms poured forth like thousands of little snakes reaching up from the pavement below. The scythe was massive, yet moved with no actual weight, its blade finally forming at the very top, as though extruded from all of those fibers that made up the shaft. And I, as champion of the First Pillar, choose the weapon of my people, the ghosts of my slain. Tempe popped her gum, but didn't move, didn't look up, didn't even bother stopping her fingers from dancing across the phone. Grigorovich howled with pitiless laughter. His cadre of fools joined in quickly.
And so it is.
The minister placed his hands together with the speed of glaciers slowly sliding to create the coldest space the world had ever known.
And thus the battle begins.
You shall meet the inverted king this day, little whelp! Ha!
The rabble behind Grigorovich roared. As the minister's hands fell, he roared as well, moving to sprint, yet stuck in play. He looked quickly over his shoulder with anxiety raising in his chest, his blood pressure boiling, his heart nearly jumping until it stopped. All of those who had come with him were gone. He turned to see the men sink into a swirl of oily shadows that pulled them down, curving below the level of the cement, as though there was some way of dipping it, melting it, with a heat the world could not quite understand, that Grigorovich couldn't understand, that Grigorovich couldn't understand. How was this possible? Looking at his own feet, he saw that the cement beneath him curved downward as well, slinking deeper, sliding ever closer towards the center, towards a blackness he didn't understand. The act of swinging, flailing, trying to gain purchase with the scythe itself, none of it worked. The act of turning even proved impossible, as talons began to dig into his arms and neck, back and crotch. Looking down, he saw them. They glowed the same hue as the cat ear headphones. They clamored and clawed no matter how hard he swung. More of them manifested, mangled and pierced, pieced together, somehow connected in ways that made no sense. All of them hungry, unstoppable, clawing at his clothes, tearing them to shreds, tearing at his flesh just as easily, just as quickly, just as mercilessly, converting this, the dread night of the pillar, into nothing but a puddle of gore and bone. The screaming was over quickly. It stopped, and all that could be heard was the methodical rolling of the skateboard back and forth.
The Lady Tempe has once again proven victorious.
The minister's hands parted slowly, almost as though he regretted the need to hand Tempe the two black pearls that sat therein.
And with your victory comes the spoil.
That he might be free.
There was a moment of silence between the minister speaking and Tempe reacting. Well, silence in that no one spoke. Tempe finished doing whatever she was doing on her phone, snapping her bubblegum once more and rolling towards the minister. Tempe held out the pack of gum as she claimed the two pearls, wiggling it a little in the face of the minister, who looked at it and her and it once more and took a piece from the neon package that had Japanese screaming from the front of it. And without a word, she skateboarded into the snow-swept night, the massive scythe over her shoulder. Grigorovich came to find his friends and the 100 others that lived in the shadow of that little champion. All of them hungered there. All of them hurt. All of them knew the only way they would ever know joy would be killing for Svetlana Tempe, Lady of the Pillar of Pain.